Welcome to Women on the Line, a national feminist current affairs program produced by women and gender non-conforming people at 3CR Community Radio in Melbourne on Wurundjeri country of the Kulin Nations and broadcast on the Community Radio Network. I'm Iris Lee. Filipina trans woman Melody Poen Bruno was on holiday in Australia in September 2019 when she was killed. She was just 25 years old. A 31-year-old man has been arrested and charged with manslaughter. This week on Women on the Line, we explore the broader issues around her death. We also touch on some of the political links between the Philippines and Australian governments and worker solidarity for Filipino migrant workers. Later on in the show, we hear speakers at a vigil last year calling for justice for Melody. First up, we hear from Lena Cabrero from Migranti Australia, part of an international alliance of Filipino migrant organisations.
Broadly about your involvement in an ongoing campaign for justice for Melody Poen Bruno, particularly around Sydney.
Yes. Okay. So, actually, Melody is the second Filipino that was killed this year. Because the first one was Jerwin. But when we heard about the death and the killing of Melody Bruno, it was it was very, very upsetting. And of course, the people here in Sydney, which is like Migranti Australia and Anakbayan and the Trans Warang and the Asian Anti-Colonial Organization. So we all got together, and we first held a vigil in Newtown, and it brought people together to give us time to mourn her death. Her death is very, how do you say that, upsetting. Because, again, it's, and for any person to die like that is really unacceptable and really upsetting. And Melody is, it's like one of those, how many million, over 10 million Filipino, Filipino migrants who has, she's here, she was here on a tourist visa, her being here is like many other Filipinos who are searching for greener pasture or an opportunity to be able to not escape, but to cope with what, with the situation in the Philippines, where in there is, poverty and there is joblessness, and especially under the Duterte government, there's a lot of killings, and the war on drugs is actually a war on the poor, because it's actually the poor people who get killed and are accused of being drug addicts and drug users, but drug pushers, the big fishes, are remain swimming out there openly, in the community. So Melody came from a peasant family, and she was working at the call center in Makati, and she was very popular, and even when she was a young girl. Yeah, she was very popular in school, and she had always wanted to help her family, live, decent lives, with, not in poverty.
Women's on the line. Oh, that was
Women on the Line.
Women on the Line.
The police formed a strike force to investigate her death, right? And they called this strike force Lampson. Have you heard about that?
Yeah, I saw that in an interview, and it's
Yeah, in my interview, right?
Yeah.
So anyway, so, you know, that's a very, very upsetting term. And so I just want to update you because we have protested about it to the New South Wales Police. And I've written to the New South Wales Police Commissioner, and his office had acknowledged my letter, but has not really responded officially. But we've spoken to some people, to the right people, to the relevant people in the New South Wales Police. And they've also clarified or contacted the police in Wagga Wagga to ask about that strike, the naming of that strike force, Y Lamson. So we were told that it was a computer-generated term, which is very interesting, you know, what I feel like from out of a million, he generated this term. Yeah. So anyway, because of our protest, the name has been changed. It has been changed to Strike Force Poseidon. That's what we've been told. Yeah.
I see.
But I mean, so the use of that term was totally unacceptable. It was very insulting, and, you know, it's like rubbing salt to the wound, you know, and it's like, you know, mocking Melody and all of that, yeah.
Women on the Line.
Do you have anything to talk about in terms of the links between the Duterte government and Australia?
Oh, you know, with one of the things, you know, we might be focused on migrants, but at the end of the day, we are Filipinos. And we recognize that even if we are in Australia, we are Filipinos and we care about what's happening in the Philippines. So we've also been campaigning on, you know, stopping the Australian military aid to the Philippines. Yeah? So, because the point that the government is saying that the military aid is to help stop terrorism, you know, because Mindanao. And so they say that they focus their military aid to Mindanao, in Marawi, you know, especially. And, you know, they train the armed forces of the Philippines for urban, how to be good in urban warfare. But, I mean, they focus in Mindanao, but don't they realize that these soldiers are, and the strategy is being used all over the Philippines? Yeah. So we've been calling for the Australian government to stop military aid in the Philippines. And, you know, in recent times, there has been a lot of, you know, in Negros, which is like in central Philippines, there has been a lot of killing of peasants. And there has been, in recent times, there has been a lot of arrests of human rights defenders and and activists, community activists. And there has been a lot of killings of lawyers, and you know, there are even five Australian nationals who are banned from entering the Philippines because they are in the watch list of the Duterte government. And of course, you know, Sister Patricia Fox, who was technically she wasn't deported from the Philippines. You know, she had to leave, yeah, because she was there for like 27 years, helping the peasants and the workers, yeah, the Filipino workers, yeah. So it is very important for the Australian government to start military aid in the Philippines, because it's not just about providing things in Mindanao, but it's like providing the armed forces of the Philippines the power to kill more people.
Yeah, for sure. That's all very concerning, Australia's links to that military aid. Would you like to end on what sort of solidarity you'd like to see with Filipino migrant workers and, yeah?
I think, you know, it's very important for you know, the workers' solidarity, especially with the Filipino migrants here, and the union movement here is something that we need to continue building on, yeah? And especially because of Australia, you know, Australia and Philippines have always had, the people of Australia, the Philippines, have always been, how do you say that, good friends and in solidarity in a different context under government, etc. But also, I think, you know, we would also like locally to be in solidarity or to work with the different migrant communities here in Australia. You know, not only on local issues, but because globally, you know, we're all part of this global happening wherein, you know, exploitation is globalized, and what is happening to migrants here in Australia is happening to migrants in America or in Canada, etc. So we need to build on this global solidarity of migrants. And, you know, there's actually this International Migrants Alliance, which is quite very strong. It's the only grassroots alliance all over that has a lot of members in globally, and they are focusing on the issue of human trafficking at the moment, yeah, and the exploitation of migrants in all forms in different countries, yeah.
Awesome. Is there anything else you'd like to add or talk about?
Yeah, well, I think, you know, with the Melody, what happened to Melody, I think we should not just let her die a second death by, you know, not keeping her, what happened to her on, not on the limelight, but, you know, alive, in a sense, you know, because, like, what happened to her is that, the Philippine government or the representative of the Philippine government here, we had the sense that they really wanted her to be repatriated quickly so that it's like out of, you know, out of their hands. And also, you know, the fact that though they repatriated her, they did not really repatriate her right up to her hometown. They only repatriated her up to a certain point, and her family had to take care of the rest of it. And so, like, there are lots, you know, we don't want another migrant to die under those circumstances, you know. And, yeah, so really, how do we bring justice to Melody in this situation? I think we all have to work together.
Yeah, it's a really important note to end on. Yeah, important to work together, definitely.
That was Lena Cabrero from Migrante Australia. You're listening to Women on the Line on your community radio station. On October 25th, a vigil was held in Melbourne, organised by members of Filipinx, trans, Asian, diaspora communities, calling for justice for Melody Poland Bruno. We now hear excerpts from speeches at the vigil, chaired by Laura McLean.
Alexia is from Migrante Australia, and yeah, please welcome her.
I'm Alexia Fuentes from Migrante Australia. Her family couldn't afford to travel to Australia to recover Melody's body. Her father is a farmer, and her mother is a secretary at a barangay hall. Melody was the breadwinner of the family, and her family has called on the Philippine government for help to send Melody's remains back home and seek justice for her death. The Philippine government has agreed to shoulder the costs of Melody's repatriation to the Philippines. The grieving family had to pick up Melody's remains from Manila all the way from Surigao del Sur province in Mindanao. Melody is now home with her family, but she is already gone. Women, trans women, and especially trans women of color, are harassed, discriminated against, assaulted, abused, and killed at a disproportionate rate, and this number is continuing to rise despite the increasing acceptance and visibility of the trans and gender diverse community in recent years. Some people would still like to think that it's okay to assault someone for being transgender, and furthermore, for being brown or black. The Philippine government's only response is to repatriate Melody's body. It has yet to play a decisive role to push for an investigation into the case, for fear of damaging its relations with Australia. The Philippines depend on the remittances of migrant workers. We must call on the Philippine authorities to play a role in further pushing for an investigation and punishing the man responsible for Melody's death. We want to know the full details as to what exactly happened and how Melody was killed so that her case will get the closure that it needs, as well as for her grieving family and the entire Filipino, Australian migrant and trans community. We call on for justice for Melody and all violence against women and trans women of color. Thank you.
Our next speaker is Charmaine Rabusa from Anakbayan Filipino Youth Group. Please welcome Charmaine.
Hi, guys. So I'm going to be reading a statement from Anakbayan Sydney, which is also the same sentiment of Anakbayan Melbourne. So it is with heavy hearts that Anakbayan Sydney makes this statement to condemn the murder of Melody Pulan Bruno, a 25-year-old Filipina trans woman who was killed while on holiday here in Australia. Melody was due to return to the Philippines on the 28th of September, but was killed in Wagga Wagga, New South Wales, just a week before her flight home. The daughter of a small farming family in the provinces of Mindanao, Miss Pauline Bruno was on vacation from her job at Makati Call Centre, where she made a living as a de facto breadwinner for her siblings in Manila. Australian and Philippine officials and police provided few details on the circumstances surrounding her death, but information suggests that Melody was a victim of sexual assault and rape at the time. After First Nations women, Filipino women represent a disproportionately high percentage of sexual and domestic abuse victims in Australia. The negative, often conflicting stereotypes which paint the Filipino women as either the dangerous woman or the woman in danger are persistent and effective methods of our dehumanisation. As a trans woman of colour, Melody was also particularly vulnerable to the often fatal violence that disproportionately affects transgender women of colour around the world. We must confront and dismantle the intersecting colonial values of white supremacy, classism, sexism, and transphobia, which lay the grounds for Melody's death and many others who have paid for this corrupt and violent system with their lives. We join Akababayans, Anakbayan Melbourne, Gabriella Sydney, Migrante New South Wales and others in demanding justice for Melody. This means a full, fair and transparent investigation into her murder. Stop the violence against trans women of colour. Stop the violence against Filipino women. Thank you.
Our next speaker will be Ness Gavanza, who will be speaking on behalf of Gabriella Australia.
Hi, I'm from Gabriella Australia, the Filipino Women's Organization here in Australia. We have chapters in Perth, in New South Wales, and here in Victoria. We basically are advocating for migrant women and children who have been impacted by family violence or domestic violence. And we know that Melody is now part of the statistics, which is one woman being killed every week due to family violence, and definitely it is family violence. And we do have outstanding campaigns at the moment along with other ethnic community groups, and this is about calling for equitable services for all women and children, of course including trans women like Melody, regardless of their visa status. Because the reality is a lot of the women, especially Filipino women, and where I think we're at the top of the chart in terms of the most favored spouse or partner of an Australian. And we know that a lot of us, of those what we call partner migrants or women who don't have the visas or partner-related visas and thus would not be able to access services provided by the Australian government or funded by the Australian government, are really in a very vulnerable situation. So I would think, and I'm speaking also as the volunteer social worker of Gabriella, that Melody would have second thoughts of even accessing our services, because she knows that she's on a tourist visa and she would know that she services would not be able, she would not be able to access these services that are currently open to those women and children that have been impacted by family violence, but are very specific to those that have partner-related visas. And this is the smallest number in terms of the migrant community that fell victim to family violence. So from Gabriela Australia, we call for justice for what happened to Melody and to give the due assistance to the grieving family back home in the Philippines. We know the circumstances where the body of Melody was not even transported to the to her town, to her actual town. And she is also, like many of us migrants here in Australia, is a breadwinner for the family. So it's not only putting an end to the life of a very young, talented woman, woman of color or trans woman of color, but also the lifeline, the financial lifeline of the whole family of Melody. So we call for justice for what happened to Melody and that a full investigation be done by the Australian authorities. And we are also calling accountability to the Philippine government to be accountable to the labor export policy that they have been pushing for so many decades until now, and that we Filipinos always fall prey to the abuses, not only from the partners that Filipinos land on, but also to their employers. So, yeah, and long live international solidarity.
Our last speakers are Yanni and Sophie. They're speaking on behalf of Anti-Colonial Asian Alliance. They organize around Indigenous migrant refugee solidarity and justice. So please welcome Yanni and Sophie.
Hi, everyone. My name is Yanni and this is Sophie. As Laura said, we are speaking on behalf of Anti-Colonial Asian Alliance. Today we come together on unceded lands of the Wurundjeri and Boonwurrung people on the Kulin Nation to demand justice for Melody Polan Bruno. We come together to mourn her loss as daughter, sister, friend and valued member of a family and communities in deep grief. We recognise that Melody's death was not just a willful violation against the existence and dignity of a trans woman of colour, where within a week, five women, four of them women of colour, were brutally murdered and taken from their loved ones and communities. This violence is not individual. It is historical, systemic, and global. In the settler colonial context of so-called Australia, racial and gendered violence is not the exception, but the rule. It is foundational to this state. Filipinx nationals have been particularly targeted in so-called Australia. In March, a young Filipino man was here on a traineeship visa working in a winery in Gerardari. He allegedly jumped out of a speeding car and died. A Filipino woman in Western Australia was murdered by a partner. Under an exploitative and violent system of global extraction, millions of Filipina women and trans people are made to live and work in precarious and dangerous situations to survive. We recognise that Melody's murder is situated in a world built on this historical foundation of violence, patriarchy and white supremacy that deems certain lives inherently extractive, disposable and unworthy of justice when violence is enacted. It's not enough to demand that the very systems that are designed to silence and kill our trans sisters and sisters of colour protect the same communities they vilify and detest. We only have each other to turn to if we're going to envision and achieve real justice. In demanding justice for Melody, we ask Asian allies in so-called Australia to turn to each other and build safe and resilient communities. Communities that are willing to actively dismantle the day-to-day harms rooted in colonization, imperialism, racism, ableism, sexism, classism, and transphobia. Until our trans sisters and trans sisters of colour receive the respect and justice they deserve, it is our responsibility to commit to this work. To end, we would like to share a poem by a Filipina trans woman, Joshua Jennifer Espinoza, and would like for you to listen to her words. This poem is called "This Is What Makes Us Worlds." Like light but in reverse, we billow. We turn a corner and make the hills disappear. You rearrange my parts until no more hurting, no more skin-sunk nighttime fear, no more blameless death. My hair loses its atoms, my body glows in the dark. Planets are smashed into oblivion, stripped of their power to name things. Our love fills the air. Our love eats the deadly sounds men make when they see how much magic we have away from them. Thank you.
And that was Yani and Sophie speaking, members of Anti-Colonial Asian Alliance in Melbourne.
Women on the Line is a national feminist current affairs program. It's produced and presented by a range of women and gender non-conforming broadcasters from 3CR in Melbourne on Kulin Nation's land, and broadcast across Australia on the Community Radio Network, with funding support from the Community Broadcasting Foundation. The theme music for Women on the Line is Slideshow at Free University by La Tigra. Women on the Line programs can be downloaded at www.3cr.org.au/womenontheline. We'd love to hear your comments or thoughts about the program, so please send an email to womenontheline@gmail.com or give us a call at 3CR on 03 9419 8377. You can also find us on Facebook and Twitter.
I'm Iris Lee. Tune in to Women on the Line next week on your community radio station.
I'll be that last on the bend. I don't wanna be me again.